I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
That's right. You are in the loop here. Sports Radio 610, John Lopez, Reginald Zatatula, out on location, baby.
You're darn right. You can come say hello to Reggie. Reginald, whatever you want to call him, he won't punch you as long as you use one of those two names. But, yeah, Twin Peaks, I-10 and Kirkwood, they're going to swing those doors open in about 59 minutes. So,
yeah, man.
So come through.
And you should come through because, obviously, the eats, drinks, scenic views, not to be too much of a pitch, man.
That's
all
exactly
those things
right
are here. But also, in addition to that, we're hooking you up at Sports Radio 610, man. We've got some giveaways happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Christian Harris helmet. There's a Jalen Petrie signed football, and there's a new H-Town Will Anderson jersey.
How about that?
All those things. Plus, you know, we might have some tickets.
I think we got some ducats. Yeah, I think we got some tickets for the game on Saturday. Let's play that out by ear, but I'm feeling it.
Yeah. So, and mind you, those are also things that you don't have to be here necessarily to win.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, so if you're on your lunch break or whatever, come by, say what's up to us in the loop. Obviously, Figgy Fig back in studio holding it down. You want to tune in at 120 when Fig's mixtape goes live. But real quick, let's go ahead and start with your Houston Texans here. Look.
Taking the field as we speak,
getting ready for a joint practice tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the final preseason game this weekend against the Los Angeles Rams. But we've been looking at a Texas team that has been kind of incredible for us. I mean, just like the different place that this team is now compared to like the last, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
Is kind of incredible. And with that, you were asking this question. I think it's a really good one. What is the most unbelievable thing about where we stand with these Texans right now? You can always get involved with the program by texting in to the text line at 713-572-4610.
Look, man, it truly is unbelievable what this team, when you think about a year ago even, but more specifically like 2 years ago, a year and a half, what you thought of this team, and more importantly, what this team felt like, you know, in terms of from a Nationals perspective. I mean, this team didn't get any respect.
No.
Like zero respect. And I'm looking up at some of the things that people, and we're saying it, and other people around the country are saying it, and it's like, oh, the Texans. And we're going to hear some of this stuff over the course of the show. You know, people talking about how the Texans, and I was watching one thing, and not only can C.J. Stroud win a Super Bowl, I forget who it was, but they can win a Super Bowl this year. And there's variations of that everywhere. So I'm like, what is the most unbelievable thing? Not just the fact that they are looked at completely 180 differently. Like, they are looked at like a veteran team that has been there and already done that. You know? And that's weird. They haven't been there, and they haven't done that.
Sure.
But they're being treated like that. And so I think that's where I'm going to land. But there's a bunch of answers, you know, that you could give. And maybe you have a different one, 713-572-4610. But to me, they are a polished, mature team. And those are two words that I've never used with the Houston Texans. There's been hope. There's been good years. There's been anticipation and all that. But they are a polished, mature team. It's like we're talking about, maybe not the Chiefs, they're in their own category, but like the Ravens.
Mm,
like they've been around forever. They're you know, personnel staff is top notch. You respect all the decisions they make.
Right.
Their coach is regarded as like, oh, well, they're going to be well coached.
Yes.
You know, like their quarterback is, oh, all he needs to do is take the next step. Like, it's like, when did the Texans become the Ravens? And the answer is this year.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it is incredible. Like, I'm glad that you took it to the place where it's organizationally.
Yeah.
Right? It's not even just the team. And then we could talk about the players on the field, that level of this. But there's a level of respect in what's happening, starting with, I guess, the most forward-facing of the people on the staff, which is D'Amico Ryans. I don't know that I mean, anywhere around like the national football landscape that anybody has negative things to say about him. And it's not just that, like, there is a widespread trust in his decision making, in the way that he goes about things. Like, people treat him not like a second year head coach, right? They treat him like a dude who has done this for a while, whose decisions are to be respected.
Yeah.
In a similar way, like you're talking about, if we're going to use the Ravens
to me, that's like the example. Right, like, the example, when did they become the Ravens?
Right. John Harbaugh is a dude who, when he makes decisions, and sometimes he'll make spicy decisions.
Yes.
Right? Sometimes he'll go with the analytics in a way that's kind of odd, and sometimes he'll deviate, and it's not always consistent or what have you. But by and large, the smartest people in sports look around and they go, no, that's a good coach, and he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
D'Amico Ryans is given that level of grace pretty widely already.
Yeah, like even in their own division, when John Harbaugh makes a decision, people in the division are like, uh-oh. I don't know if that's going to be good, but I bet you it is. You know, because you have that respect.
Yeah, right.
You know, they draft somebody where you're like a Kamari Lassiter, something of a surprise, right?
Yeah.
And people in had the Ravens done that, people in their division would be going, uh-oh, what do they know that we don't?
Right.
Well, we're finding out that, you know, D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio do know something that others don't, because Kamari Lassiter is probably going to be a starting cornerback. You know, so it's like, it's unbelievable how far this team has come. And, you know, the most unbelievable thing to me is I don't feel like we're setting ourselves up for disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah, like that. There's definitely places around this league where something is done that, you know, ostensibly is a good move, and people go, yeah, but wait till it fails.
Yeah.
And you look, there's places where if you wanted to have that particular negativity about things, you possibly could, right? Like, free agency is something that gets the people going in football, because it is you know, the sexy portion of roster building. But, like, there's arguments to be made that, you know, free agency is not the most effective way to build a team.
Absolutely.
And the Texans have made some big free agent moves this offseason. And so there's reasons to maybe go, let's see. Let's see if you made the right decision in acquiring this player. Let's see if they still have in them what you were looking for, and whether that money that you ultimately signed them for, even if they do have those things, is proportionate to what they deliver you in value.
Yeah.
I think with Nick Caserio, everybody's like, I think this is the
work.
Right move. Like,
yeah,
all these moves, like, I think that you did what you were supposed to do. And just the idea that not only did you make those moves, and I don't think there's a lot of doubt, I think that also just the idea that you were able to convince players to come to this place without too much, cajoling.
Well, C.J. Stroud helped with that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like, having a quarterback that is very good and on the upswing.
But that's another comparison.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know? And the other thing is, and I know this is going to sound a little bit hokey, but I think it's very real, like the character of the players while they are still dogs.
Yes.
Like, I was listening to Kamari Lassiter, and I'm like, I was listening to D'Amico talk about Kamari Lassiter and Lassiter himself, and I'm like, how is this dude 21? Or I don't even know if he's 21. Hell, he might be 20. But you know, how is – he's a kid. And he sounds like
– and you're right. He is 21 years
old. Yeah, like, he sounds like a guy – like, he said – part of it was he goes, well, rookie is just a tag or a name or something like that.
Let's hear from his mouth. Figgy, you got cut eight ready for me. This is Kamari Lassiter and his media availability. What was this, 2 days ago? Because they didn't have media availability yesterday. This was him talking about, you know, being a rookie.
I feel like rookie is just a word, honestly. I mean, I was brought here to, you know, come and do a job. So I feel like if I'm not doing my job to my standard or the standard that, you know, that the organization has, then it doesn't really matter. So, I mean, it's a balance. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not, you know, going out there trying to walk on eggshells, knowing I'm going to play fast. I'm going to play physical. I'm going to play my brand of football. But at the same time, I want it to be right. I want it to be decent and order. And I want it to, you know, match the standard of our organization. You know, I understand that, you know, it's my first year. It's going to be a lot of things that I don't know or that I will see and that I will have to, you know, come across and make better. But in terms of me kind of making that balance, it's just going out there playing fast, playing confident, and then just learning from mistakes.
Do you have any idea how far from that I was when I was 21?
Oh, buddy. I bet if we open that up to the text lines, 713-572-4610, and let me know how far you were away,
like, that's,
from that level of, I guess, introspection and perspective at the age of 21.
Well, that's the audio that made me think polish and maturity.
Sure.
Like, that is a polished dude. That is a professional. And that is a very mature dude. And I was so far away from that at 21, it's not even funny. But I think that's part of, like, why they've advanced so quickly.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To this level.
And I mean, I think this ties in with a couple of things that we were just talking about, right? Like D'Amico Ryans in his last media availability was talking about the idea of Kamari Lassiter and how the impact that playing for Georgia had on him, right? Georgia has a defense that is complex, right? They're not out there with very simple keys and telling you, hey, this if you see this, then this is how you play. Like, there's some reads, there's some keys, there's a lot of moving parts within the Georgia defense. And Kamari Lassiter was able to exist in that and flourish in it. And that's one of the things that allowed D'Amico Ryans to talk glowingly about Kamari Lassiter, and one of the things that it seems like gives him confidence that Kamari Lassiter can step into a starting role on the outside and be able to have some level of success in the NFL. And being able to identify that, and I know that you might look and go, hey, you know, blue chip prospect from a big blue blood program. Hey, that's not too difficult to identify. But the idea that that's the way that the Texans went with Caserio and the decision makers, and then also D'Amico Ryans, like, that also adds into that polish, that maturity that you're able to see.
Yeah, and I talk about how fast they've come here. Like a year and a half, 2 years, two seasons ago, let's say, if the Texans were starting two rookies in the secondary, we'd be like, well, they're done. You know, and now we're like, cool. You know, they're ready. You know, they must be ready. So it turns into stability. It turns into confidence. It turns into just, you know, the I hate to say it again, but the culture of this team is just amazing that we've gotten here so quick. You know, I am surprising myself with, you know, all the confidence I have in this team, but I think it's well warranted.
Yeah, and in addition to it, right, I think what makes it really unbelievable for me, because we've seen teams, like, you know, go from worst to first, or we've seen teams, you know, improve their status in the world, right? That's the nature of this thing. You know, the great teams are not great forever. The bad teams are not bad forever. Yeah. These things shift and change. But, like, the speed, the quickness that this happened, right? And we'll talk more about this in varying degrees during the course of the program all the way till 2 p.m. But, I mean, you got a rookie quarterback in, and he immediately flourished in a way where people are willing to put him in the top 10 of their quarterback rankings pretty early, right? A lot of folks, and maybe not everyone, but you have that, right? The ways in which we talked about the free agents, that you were able to get in very quickly. And, I mean, remember last year, and I know that from a local perspective, there was probably a little bit of optimism, but from a national perspective, there were people that were still dogging this Texans team.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, the idea that, oh, man, you traded up for Will Anderson Jr., you gave away your first round pick when you're expected to be at the top of that draft again, and you looked up and they were not of that draft again. And that speaks to just how quickly this happened. And it seems to be like one of the things that's amazing for me is just like the unity, right? The synergy that's when it comes to perspective and the way that they want to do things. They seem to have their ducks in a row in that way, whether it comes to like the way that the physicality is going to be on defense. Everybody knows what the time is, and everybody is operating on that time, right? When you talk about the maturity levels in that way as well, like, there's various different degrees where you talk about the dog in them, but also still being, you know, within line, still being the right kind of guy, so to say. And so, you know, I've been thoroughly impressed looking at the way that this Texans team is. Now, we are in the time period of the schedule.
Oh, everybody's optimistic.
This is the optimistic time, but like, at least they are clearing all the bars that you imagine for this time period in that way.
No, it absolutely is. But when you talk about the maturity of this team, and we heard from Lassiter, it's not just him. It's like, if you were listening during training camp, just consistently blown away by the way these players, you know, perform on the field like dogs. I mean, I mentioned yesterday the Al Shaair quote. hey, if you're soft, you might go play somewhere, but you ain't going to play here.
Yeah.
You know, and yet off the field, they all seem to buy in. And that and look, that's it starts with D'Amico, obviously. And that's why I made that comparison to the Ravens. It's like D'Amico, from a player perspective, forget what we think, you know? Forget what people nationally think. Players are like, I want to play for that dude because he's the real deal.
Would you say that D'Amico then deserves the most credit for this? Now, understanding that it's probably a pie where you have to slice it up and get, you know, hand some to everybody, but when it comes to, like, the primary person that you give the credit for this particular place that the Texans are in, it's
yes,
D'Amico
because
Ryan,
they got
right?
here so fast. Like obviously, Nick Caserio, and I said last week, you know, that I think he's already the best general manager this organization's ever had just because of everything that he was able to do and adjust to with a new coach and all that. So he gets a lot of a piece of that pie, as you talk about. But the big portion of it has to begin and end with D'Amico. And it's been stunning, to be honest, that we're here, you know?
Absolutely. And look, this has been an incredible thing to watch. Like, and I, of course, I can speak mostly from afar, but mm-hmm. it's one of the reasons, and we'll talk about if we're drinking too much of the Kool-Aid later in the program, but it's one of the reasons why I feel so positively is that on a national scale, you can see Diana Russini. You could see like all the rankings that are putting this team yeah. as like maybe Super Bowl contenders or at least borderline Super Bowl contenders in that way. And that positivity is because of all of the things that we're talking about, like the indicators of things that will make a team good all point in the upwards, at least from a 30,000 foot view.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's where it's our responsibility to get down into the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening here when we talk about, you know, depth, when we talk about the areas of, you know, of mm-hmm. potential weakness. But we do have to make sure that we're very cognizant, especially because of the dry parts that you've gone through.
Yeah.
Of how this team is not the team of 5 years ago. It's not the team of the David Culley era. It's not the team of that time. It's definitely a new era.
I mean, and from the 281 on the text board, 713-572-4610, 2 years ago we were talking about a total rebuild, and now we're talking about a Super Bowl. That doesn't happen.
No.
It never happens that fast. I mean, it, you know, that's what I was saying. Like, this is the stunning part. Like, when I was thinking total rebuild, I was thinking 6 years. You know,
sure.
At best, well, we're here, and that's D'Amico. And that starts with D'Amico.
D'Amico. I mean, Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah.
All sorts of folks. And speaking of Will Anderson, we have one of his jerseys, an H-Town mm-hmm. jersey that's going to be given away here at Twin Peaks, I-10 and Kirkwood. Also, Christian Harris helmet will be given away. Jalen Petrie football will be given away. And maybe some tickets for this weekend.
How about that?
If you come through, say what's up to In the Loop, John Lopez, Reginald Datatou. We got Figgy Fig, my man, back in studio holding us down. Coming up next here on Sports Radio 610, we're going to talk to Adam Spillane at 10:40, so we'll move up the question of the day.
All right.
Until 10:20, what's the most old school thing that you still do? Of course, I'm talking to the OG, John Lopez.
Hey,
himself,
you're not so. Just talking to me. There's some 20-somethings that do old school things.
Man, tell me about it. We'll talk about that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reginald Atatula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, indeed. You are indeed in the loop. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig back in studio, and me, Reginald Atatula, on this Wednesday afternoon in the great city of Houston and general surrounding area.
Katy-ish, west-ish is where we are right now.
That is indeed, yeah. Because we are out at yeah. Twin Peaks. I-10, Kirkwood, come out, say what's up to us and all the other fine folks out here. We open up at 11?
11 a.m. Those doors are going to swing open. And we got
swang
we got
open.
Swang,
that's right.
Swang open.
When Top's Drop is on, it's definitely got to be swang.
and it's going to be on. We're going to be watching baseball in here. By the way, real quick before we get to the question of
yes,
the day, Alex Bregman back in the lineup. Lineup just dropped.
Excellent.
So Alex Bregman back in the lineup.
A lot of positivity. That's another thing that we'll definitely have to talk about with Adam Spillane when he joins us here. Yeah. In about 15 minutes. But right now, question of the day is, what is the most old school thing that you still do? Let us know. 713-572-4610 is the number to text, because we're out here, like I mentioned, at Twin Peaks, and one of the fine gentlemen out here stopped by.
Mr. Scott.
Yeah, Scott was talking to us, and he was like, did you see my Jeep out in the parking lot? I sure as heck did. My man has a Jeep that is completely, like, wrapped in everything, and it has, like, the Love You Blue going back to the Houston
Oilers.
Got
the logos, time. Got the helmets, yeah, got the Derek, got the color. And I'm like, that's old school. And, of course, that's a light bulb moment, you know. What's the most old school thing that you still do? He's still rocking that Oilers colors, Oilers colors. A lot of those people are around town.
For sure.
I guess I shouldn't have said those people. But anyway.
Wow.
I guess I shouldn't have done that.
You hear this, Fizz?
crazy. <man. laughs>
But I am old school. Like, but at the same time, as much as I'm old school, And you know, our listeners in Figgy and know this, and you're going to learn. I'm really kind of into, like, the new crap. I'm all everything, mm-hmm. anything new, I'm going to try. You know, whether it's data, you know, or websites or apps or all that stuff. But I got two that came to mind.
Okay,
that perfect. I am still old school. What's the most old school thing you still do? We'll see what you guys say and Figgy. I still use, and this is old school.
Okay,
I still use north, south, east, and west. When I'm giving directions, or
well, you could have just stopped that. You give directions, right? Like, everybody's just like, "What's the address? I'll put it in the app."
Exactly.
Yeah, you're like, "All right, so wait, okay.
Yeah.
Let me not tell you what you are. Let me ask: Do you use landmarks when you're giving directions?"
No. Well, I usually use the app, but like especially when I'm on my boat, you know, I have the GPS and I have the sonar, which will tell me exactly where I want to go. But I have, just in case it goes out, just in case there's a problem, I still have a compass on my boat. So as I'm leaving, I still say, okay, I'm going north by east at this many degrees or whatever. Just in case everything goes out, I'll know how to come back. And if somebody says, hey, where's such and where's Twin Peaks on Kirkwood? I'll say, well, it's just south of the freeway.
Got you.
And people are like, what?
I'm amazed that people don't have that innate sense of direction. I've just been blessed in that way. What's the most old school thing that you still do? Folks already texting in. Does this count as old school from the 409? Still put potato chips on my sandwich?
I don't know
if that's
a good question.
That is old school.
That's what we're asking.
That's a good question. Now, 512, I'm here with you on that, though. They said when it comes to old school, it's music, right? They said they were told at the fire station that that they wouldn't listen to it unless it was blasting out of a T-top or a Trans Am. Yeah, man, I love going back and listening to old school stuff, to the point where with my little brothers, I will very much do the what you know about that. this was sampling this song from that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you sound like somebody's dad. You need to stop.
Yeah, well, Figgy knows I'm old school funk, man. Like, I pretty much if I'm listening to music, it's gonna be, you know, Bar K's, Brick, Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire. I mean, just go down the list. That's why I always get a little hop in my step on the intro to our, because that's an old school beat.
Yeah.
That's an old school beat.
It sure is.
And the other one that I still do old school, Fig, I want to ask you, and I'm going to ask, obviously, Reginald on this, is this is like old man stuff.
Okay.
But I don't care. I've been doing it since I've been in my 30s. I'm kind of a low-key amateur birder. I love identifying birds.
Yeah, man.
Looking at birds. I got binoculars on my front porch because I got two bird feeders out there. Oh, that's a blah, blah, blah.
You know? That's an old man activity.
But I was doing it when I wasn't an old man. I just love birds. I just love
so. I mean, if you like it, I love it. That is not something that I particularly have an interest in. But I do find it fascinating that folks have that kind of, like, wherewithal to be able to identify.
Oh, yeah.
Things.
That's a northeastern bluebird. That's a blah, blah, blah. That's a, you know. What about you? You got to have something.
Yeah, okay. So I was thinking about it. And for me, I think that my old school thing is I'm still going to go pick it up in person. Right? There's so many people that have adapted to this new world of delivery.
Really?
Delivering groceries or pizza delivery is not new, but everything delivered to the crib. And I'm like, I'd much rather go to the brick and mortar store. I'd much rather go in and talk to somebody.
But you do Amazon.
I mean, I do, for sure. But if I have the option to go and get it locally, I absolutely will. 100%.
Man, I can't, my Amazon guy, I'm a first name. Hey, how's Carol? You know?
Right, how's the family? Yeah. That's incredible. Fig, is there something that comes to mind for you on the question of the day? What old school thing do you still do?
Yeah, so I was thinking, and we actually talked about this yesterday, man, how whenever I show prep, man, I can't really do it from my phone. I gotta break out a laptop. Man. Yeah. I gotta sit at a computer to focus. I can't. A lot of people get a lot of work done just from their phone. I gotta have a mouse in my hand, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. I gotta have a mouse and a keyboard. It's hard for me to even work on the iPad because there's no physical keyboard or mouse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm old school when it comes to that.
Where do we fall on this one from the 409? I haven't done this in forever. I still leave people voicemails.
Yeah.
That's old school.
That is old school.
Nobody listens to them.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's exactly the issue, right? You leave, and you having the voicemail etiquette, right?
Yeah.
Leave your number and everything. Yeah, nobody's doing
that. Hey, this is John. Call me at...
Call me back. Yeah, if you really need it, go ahead and text that in so that I can see that because nobody is actually calling their voicemail line.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you. That's tough. How about this? This is something I feel like we need to not make old school. We need to just have all the way around from 8-3-2, still wave at people when I cut them off or when they let me in. 100%.
Yeah.
I am on that.
And like, I get insulted if I don't get the wave.
Yeah, exactly.
If I let somebody in and they don't wave, like, hey, thank you, I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, man, we just need some courtesy. We definitely need some courtesy. Shout out to the 281 who says they listen to In the Loop on the radio, not the app, the YouTube, or the Twitch. We appreciate that, but I mean, any way you get at us, if you're hanging out with us, we appreciate this. We were having a little conversation about this one in particular because this person said they use cash no matter how inconvenient.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the place where I'm new school as heck. I can't. Yeah. I don't like dealing with cash at all.
No, me neither. I have a friend that uses exclusively cash.
Oh,
like, and I,
that
I,
sounds like a
pain. I've
in
given
a
him
half.
Such a hard time. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? It just doesn't seem right. But yeah, some people do that. For sure.
Yeah, man. So many of these coming in. You know what? We'll keep going here. Let me see if I can speed run some of these. Fish with the cane pole. That's going to be in your work.
No, that's been decades. That's been decades.
Let me see. Someone else said that they don't play about getting their feet swept by a broom. Is that an old like kind of wives' tale? Because I'm not going to be
clear. Really?
That sounds like some New Orleans type
stuff, here.
Man.
Oh, okay. My gosh. I don't even know that one.
Okay, let's see. Someone said they still have a rotary phone, and I don't know.
I feel like you're just,
there's no way.
This is one I do pretty often, too. Like, remember back in the day in the car, you couldn't, if you had the AC on, you can't roll the windows down or it's going to burn the gas up.
Oh, yes.
I still feel that way, man. I don't let my windows down if I got the AC on.
You're wasting gas.
Right. you're burning my gas up, for sure.
And then another one, when I'm getting gas, I got to make sure I like touch the car first
to release the static electricity.
Yeah. Nah,
I feel like that's just, look, even if that is old school, that's just good business.
That is good business.
Just tap the car a little bit.
That's just good business. I like that.
No reason to take any chances.
Yeah,
with that.
Tap the car on the ass a little bit.
Zero social media is from the 979.
I don't know how you can survive 979.
Voila, from the 832. Yeah, go ahead and use that one. This one I'm 100% with, 713.
Yeah.
Still use 59. Yeah, I was like, that's a question I needed to ask the people. Are we actually on this calling Southwest Freeway 69?
Yeah, we still call it Southwest Freeway.
Yeah, I was like, I got back to town. I touched down and I was like, what is this about it being 69? I don't like that at all.
No, I like Southwest Freeway. Northeast, Katy Freeway, Gulf Freeway. I like all that. It kind of separates us from the pack, so to speak. But there are some old school things. Some people said read a newspaper.
Hey, shout out to you. I'll read it digitally. I'm not getting a paper.
That's what I'm saying. I don't mind the digital stuff, but I don't see how you could mind it. Mine is like why? Why would you do that?
Comfort. It feels good. And you know what? Like, there is something nice about having physical copies of things. As somebody who likes doing a lot on, like, I have a million tabs open, that being able to quickly get to what you're looking for physically matters a whole bunch. So I think that there's benefits to it. I'm just not going to do it.
No, me neither.
You know what? Let's find out what Adam Spillane, what he, what the old school thing that he still does is, in addition to talking about these Houston Astros who will be playing a day game to finish out a set with the Red Sox. We'll do that next.
Sport 2006-10 presents live from Twin Peaks off I-10 in Kirkwood. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reginald Atitula.
Who they want? Baseball Spo.
This intro is hard. I'm so excited to talk to our guy, Adam Spillane, who is our Astros insider here on Sports Radio 610. Spillane, what's happening, man?
Hey, Reggie, it's good talking to you, and I'm looking forward to meeting you sometime here in the near future, but welcome to the station.
Question number one, why do you have the hardest intro that I've heard thus far?
That is all Figgy.
Yours truly, man.
Let's be honest. I am the exact opposite of that intro, too.
You know what? I never would have guessed that. never would have guessed that, knowing you the way. I
spit some bars on that song, too, man.
Yeah, we got to get, you know, say, I'm Baseball Spo.
I think that'll work. So, Spillane, before we get into, like, the baseball of this all, we were just having a conversation about the most old-school things that we still do. Some folks were talking about the ideas of still using cash. We just had someone from the 832 texting about how they need a physical printed ticket in sporting events, which I imagine is impossible.
How do you get those?
To handle right now. Is there something that comes to mind for you about, like, oh, this is a real old-school thing I still do?
Not off the top of my head. You know, I don't use cash. I guess I will use cash sometimes, and it's just at the gas station because it's like 10 cents cheaper. So I guess that's like the one thing that I would.
All right.
True.
All right. A little frugality there.
That is money.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So we were wondering about Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman, but we got an answer on Alex Bregman today, didn't we?
Yeah, Bregman's going to play today. He's DHing and batting in the leadoff spot. I think he probably could have played last night. He was holding a bat and ready to pinch hit in the ninth inning. Joe Espada said, though, that he was never going to play. I think he wanted to. The team obviously was going to be extra careful with him, so he's in the leadoff spot today. My guess is he might be able to play third base when they get to Baltimore tomorrow. As of yesterday, he had really only played light catch. So we'll see if maybe that's something that they've been able to increase the intensity of in the last 24 hours. But yeah, Bregman is back. Right now, I'm looking at Kyle Tucker. He is playing catch out in the outfield right now. So again, it's been a holding pattern here really for the last, you know, 2.5 months at this point. But Dana Brown did an interview earlier this morning, and he said that they're thinking the first week of September. Now, that's September 1st is 10 days from now, so that's basically, what, a 17-day window where he could come back, but it feels like to me there are still a lot of hurdles that he still needs to cross.
The starter for today for the Astros is indeed Justin Verlander as he makes his return to the club. He has only thrown, what, 57 pitches? He's worked his way up, and after Ronel Blanco had, a pretty short outing, how well-situated are they with the pen to be able to handle what is going to happen over this next stretch?
The bullpen is not in great shape. When you have Kikuchi only go, what, 5 2/3 in the game on Monday, and then Blanc, they had to really dig deep into the bullpen last night just to get 27 outs in that game. And, Verlander, they'll probably say, and we'll talk to Espada here in about 15 minutes, they'll probably have him at about 75 pitches today. But against this Red Sox lineup, the idea that he's going to be able to get through five innings seems pretty unlikely. So I'll be interested to see if maybe their plans have changed with the bullpen here today. And just because also they optioned Seth Martinez, who did not pitch in either of the last two games, so he would have been fresh. And so that's one less option that they have coming out of that bullpen today. So it's going to be tough to get them through this game. And that's the hard part about going to a six-man rotation, is that you have one fewer arm in the bullpen. And so when you have a starter who does not go deep into a game, then that really puts the onus on everybody else to go deep into the game. But obviously, I don't know if Verlander will be able to do that. And then you go to tomorrow, And I don't know if Spencer Arrighetti is going to be able to go deep into the game against that very good Orioles lineup. I thought maybe that they would piggyback Arrighetti with Verlander today, but it doesn't seem like that is in the equation as Arrighetti is walking out here to go through a throwing program. So I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, we definitely are in the mode of looking toward the postseason, which is in itself a story. How's the outfield going to look? They've been trying some things. They signed. They brought in another guy. Chaz McCormick has struggled mightily, as we all know, although he had a good game the other day. How would you predict this outfield to look as we get into September?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, a lot of it is going to be dependent on Kyle Tucker coming back, which, again, they seem to think that he'll be back here in the next 2-3 weeks. But Jake Myers is pretty much entrenched into center field. You know, I know offensively he hasn't been very good lately, but he does play elite defense at that position. They'll play Yordan Alvarez in left field every now and then. They've had to play him more in left field recently just because they've wanted to get some of their other bats into the lineup. But I think that you're going to see them really start grasping at straws. And that's the Ben Gamel move that they made yesterday where they claimed him off waivers from the Mets. He's only played in, what, 6 major league games this season. I think it's maybe only 24 major league games the last 2 years, but they have been really working the waiver wire all year, whether it was for pitching, whether it was for bench bats, and I think that they'll continue to do that. And you know, anybody that they add between now and September 1st is eligible to be on the postseason roster. But even if they get, you know, past September 1st, they could still look to add guys. Remember, they added Bennett Sousa after September 1st last year, and he got them a lot of big outs out of that bullpen down the stretch, even though he wasn't eligible to be on the postseason roster. So they're going to try. They are going to search long and hard to see if they can find options to improve the club. They've been doing it all year. Nobody really has worked, but I don't think that they will stop trying.
So we mentioned Ben Gamel, the dart that they're throwing to try and help with the outfield. What would be a success for him? What would be necessary for him to be successful and help the outfield?
That he's able to stay on the roster for now until game 162. I think that's really, you know, they've tried all these guys and very few of them have even been able to stick. So I think that you are looking for someone who can provide you, you know, around league average offense and hold up defensively, because that's an upgrade over what they've been running out there at the corners here since Kyle Tucker's been hurt. That's what's been pretty remarkable about this run, is that they've been able to do it with just kind of piecing together an outfield at this point, where it's McCormick and right, or maybe sometimes it's Trey Cabbage and right, or it's Mauricio Dubon playing the corners. So I just think that they are looking for someone who can provide them not even league average offense, but close to league average offense at this point for the corners.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because Bregman to me is so huge, not just because he was on such a tear, but when you look at this everyday lineup, and it sounds almost blasphemous to say this because they've been so hot, but the bottom of the order is still not exactly ripping it, you know, ripping the cover off the ball. So, you know, they still need to get the bottom of the lineup going, and Bregman's probably going to help a lot with that.
Well, the bottom of the order is bad. I mean, let's just be flat out. The bottom of the order, that last half of the lineup is just not good. And especially when you have guys who aren't, you know, if Chaz McCormick got back to being the Chaz McCormick from last year, then that changes things a little bit, but he's not. And they are asking a whole lot of Mauricio Dubon by asking him to play every day and basically playing, you know, one of the corners here. So the drop-off between Alex Bregman and Shea Whitcomb, who's been playing third base for the most part the last 5 games, that's pretty steep. You know, the drop-off from Kyle Tucker to whoever they've been playing in right field has been pretty steep. And that's why, you know, their depth, they just don't have it. You know, they don't have it really. And this is, you know, what you've seen the last, you know, 5 games without Bregman is kind of a look at what you might be seeing, you know, next year. Bregman does choose to leave in free agency. They just don't have a lot. And they've tried bringing guys up from AAA. It hasn't worked. They've tried bringing guys in from outside the organization. That hasn't worked. Again, it is pretty remarkable that they are where they are now when you consider how just devastated the roster has been with injuries.
Now, Spo, you know, a familiar face is out there on the market as we talk about the idea of going and just picking folks up. Hector Neris was released by the Cubs. Does that give you any level of intrigue? Are you interested in that at all for these Astros?
Yeah, I think that that's something that they will certainly explore. he hasn't been that good this season. I know the ERA is okay, but when you really dig deep into the numbers, it quite hasn't been that good. And even last year, I know the ERA, I think, was under 2 last year. He wasn't quite that good, but he's a guy who they know. He's a guy who was a leader within that clubhouse last year. He's pitched in a lot of big innings before. And, you know, again, you look at the last couple of guys on that staff, they are not established major leaguers. They are not guys that I think that you would trust to get big outs in a big spot. And I do think that Neris would be the opposite. So, yeah, I do think that they will explore bringing in Hector Neris. I think that Neris will have a few suitors at this stage. But obviously going back to the Astros would give him a chance to win. It's a familiar place. He's well-liked within that clubhouse. So I do think that that's something that they will certainly explore. And, you know, who knows, that might be something that works out for them.
One more on Verlander, because we have our opinions, but I want to ask you. You mentioned about what to expect, you know, today and maybe the short term, but what is he going to be for this team? What does he need to be, I should say, for this team to go ahead and make this run even more special?
I just think
realistically.
Yeah, I think that you're not getting a Cy Young guy anymore. I mean, I think that that's been the case really for the last couple of years. What he did in 2022 was pretty much an anomaly and like a one-of-one type season for when you consider the age. I think that you are looking at a guy who can give you a quality start. You know, you're looking at a guy who you're hoping he can give you 6 and give up 2 or 3 runs. I think that's what you're looking at right now. I don't think he's the type of guy who's going to be able to give you 7, 8 innings anymore. I think that he's going to go out and give you a professional start. He's not going to blow up on you. You know that if he pitches, he's probably going to be able to at least give you 5. And, you know, maybe you're able to get 6 out of him at this point. He understands his body. He understands when he can let it go. I think just reading about his last rehab start, you know, he was kind of sitting 92, 93 for the first 3 innings, and then he really let it go once he got to the 4th and was back up to 95, 96. So he's the type of guy who's going to be able to get him through the early innings, and then when he needs to bump it up, he's able to bump it up, but he just can't go into the tank as much as he could in the past. So to me, if you're looking at, like, getting into the playoffs, if I'm them, I'm saying, okay, we're going to give you 2 times for the order. We're going to give you 18 hitters. You can air it out then, and then we'll have somebody in behind you who can really clean up and bridge the gap to those last, you know, to the last few innings with the bullpen. So I think you're just hoping to get decent starts. You're hoping maybe to get through the 5th. Maybe if you're lucky, you get to the 6th.
There you go. Spo, appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time talking Astros. Enjoy the game today, man.
Thanks, Reggie. And again, looking forward, happy to have you at the station and looking forward to meeting you in person.
Thank you, my man. Likewise. There you go. Adam Spillane, our Astros insider here on Sports Radio 610. Join us every Wednesday.
Yes, sir.
10:40. Looking forward to that every year, especially the way that the Astros are playing.
That's going to get even more interesting.
It sure is. It sure is. So, Verlander going today. I believe that's first pitch 1:10, if
yeah,
I remember correctly.
You can watch it right here.
That's right, where we are. I-10 and Kirkwood, it's Twin Peaks, and we're getting ready to open up here shortly. So, come out, have some lunch, sign up for some potential giveaways. I mean, there's a jersey, there's a signed football, there's a signed helmet, and, you know, there might be some tickets as well. So come out and say what's up to us out here at Twin Peaks. Coming up next, though, we go around the NFL, where the Brian Flores Tua Tagovailoa thing continues as the world of the NFL turns.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.